I've met Jacobs in this life. They run and do whatever they want to do, and they don't seem to care, and they get involved in nothing but problems and conflicts, and the life is just dead. And, you know, you stand back from this, and you see the life mess up and spiral out of control, and you start to think, man, the guy's getting what he deserves. What do you say of somebody who's living in darkness? Well, they got to hit rock bottom. I'm careful with that now. You think, well, they're just getting what they deserve, and maybe we're a bit satisfied with that. Here's what moves me this morning. The Lord's not satisfied with that. He's not happy about any of this. This is not a game to Him. Our lives are not a game to Him.
It is reality, God's reality. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for it. Let's explore it some more, shall we, here on Abounding Grace Radio. Once again, here's Pastor Chris as we look at Genesis chapters 30 and 31.
One of the worst things that I've seen is that when people are looking for an answer in the midst of the downward spiral and they never come to the right answer, you know, they're always clinging to something new. So they're jumping from here to here to here to here just to get on some kind of track that will make it go okay, until somebody comes along and takes advantage of them. And the situation that they're in now is worse than the last situation. And further and further and further, they're driven into the bondage. Have you seen this play out in people's lives? I don't know how many times in the ministry I've seen it. And things actually go from worse to worse. You might stand back from this and, you know, if you've ever been crossed by somebody like this or taken advantage of somebody like this, you think, well, they're just getting what they deserve. And maybe we're a bit satisfied with that. Here's what moves me this morning. The Lord's not satisfied with that. He's not happy about any of this. This is not a game to Him. Our lives are not a game to Him. What's He been doing the whole time? What has the Lord been doing the whole time? In all of His running, in all of his being taken advantage of, Jacob ultimately was schemed into having two wives. What did the Lord do last time? Steps into this and cleans up his house. These two women in his house, you had the imagery of last time, they're greatly distressed. They're full of sorrow. Talk about a sermon for mothers today. Full of sorrow, full of distress and hardship, and they are really worked up. And you see the Lord's powerful intervention into the course of events and into the scene with unloved Leah. And by the time that scene is done, the Lord had loved her so much, she's satisfied in praising God, holding six children, and then the ones to her maid. And by the time he was done with Rachel, he gives her Joseph. And she's publicly saying, my reproach is gone. The Lord's taken it. Talk about a cleanup. Talk about the Lord intervening and turning sadness and sorrow into joy. Here's Jacob. All of his life, he's been running. All of his life, he's been doing whatever he wants. All of his life, he's been wrecking his life. And he keeps spiraling down and down and down. And I'd say you're about at rock bottom. And what happens in verse 41? Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock, that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Listen to verse 43. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. What's going on here? The peels didn't do it. Love apples didn't do it. You all know that, right? Behind all of this is the Lord intervening into these people's lives and taking this life that is a wreck and a mess and pursuing his own will and turning the whole thing constantly into blessing and grace over and over and over and over. You understand grace yet? Have you begun to comprehend it? You know how zealous the Lord is for his people? Maybe that's the question. Do you think about how zealous the Lord is for his people? You know, an angel came down one day and told one of the prophets to declare to Jerusalem this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion. You were to calculate your life and how much time you spent on yourself, doing your own will, wrecking it. I have often pondered the question in my own life, where would I be today if God had let me go? I've said that a few times from this pulpit, but I ponder that a lot. I think about it. In the pain of it, the whole life in darkness, blindness, and unbelief, Jacob has shown no interest in this God. And if you have done that, and you can say, well, I'd be scary to tally my life and look at that. What have you pursued? Let's say it's sexual morality. Do you know what he kept you from? You're here today. The consequences may come. We're never exempt from the consequences of sins. The Lord uses that to train us and instruct us, and he's doing that with Jacob. But ultimately, he's kept you. You know what aggravates him more than what you will ever understand? It's the injustice upon his elect. A life that has treated him this way in Jacob, the Lord is showing you that. I am thoroughly agitated with injustice against my elect. Jesus would give a whole parable on this of a little old woman who was being abused by somebody, crying out for justice, and God says, do you not think I will avenge my elect speedily? Every little injustice going on in this sad world against his people, that maybe you've lived an experience that's happening to your brothers and sisters around the world right now where knives are being put to their throats, he is intervening, promising that in the end he will turn the whole thing for your blessing, that he'll preserve you and that he won't let your foot be moved. And he's absolutely relentless in it. Why have we heard this over and over? Well, at some point, why am I feeling like a broken record here, stuck on this same truth over and over and over? At some point, that has to get us. Some point. Some point the light has to go on. You got to get out of your deadness. This relentless pursuit begins to take over your thoughts and begins to take over your life. And the most pleasant place to be is back at Bethel to worship God, isn't it? You want to go back. And that's what you begin to see in this man. It's just remarkable. I can't get over how good this God has been to him in the midst of all this. And it is that attribute of God. It's that attribute of God that keeps shining in this text that I think has overtaken Jacob. It's his goodness. Why does God keep being like this to me? And I want you to notice now how Jacob's speaking for the first time. He goes to his wives and he explains all this to them. And for the first time, he starts bearing witness. I mean, it's really remarkable. He bears witness of the truth of God's presence and grace and sustaining power. Leah and Rachel, your father has deceived me. Verse 11. But here's what's happened to me. This isn't chapter 31. The angel of the Lord spoke to me. He came to me in a dream saying, I have seen what Laban's doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. And at this point, what you have is a release that takes place because Leah and Rachel agree of coming out of their father's house who has broken the law of a father in their country. Jacob's being set free. That set freeing is being acknowledged. But don't miss what's happening to him. Don't miss what's happening to Jacob. He's been a schemer the whole time. You have love apples. You have poplar rods, you have all this stuff. And now verse 4, he's saying what? God has been with me. God didn't allow Laban to hurt me. Verse 9, God took away the livestock of your father and has given it to me. God vowed he would be the God of Bethel at Bethel. He has always been with me. He's being one. He's being one. Behold, I am with you. Remember what he said? And he says it here. And will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to the land. That blessing and that understanding had so won him. I want everyone to look over in the next chapter to see what a man who is grasping this and the light is going on in life, what it begins to look like. I want you to look at verse 32, verse 9, the first prayer from Jacob like this we get. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred that I may do you good. There it is. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you've shown to your servant. Wow. You want to know whether you're a Christian this morning? Oh, you could have been raised in this all your life and not be. Here's a broken and contrite heart. It came. We could be apathetic to the things of Christ. You could be going through a cultural club. We could do that. Israel had that problem. But here's when you know the delivering hand of God has come upon you to bring you out. There's an overwhelming recognition and assurance that Christ's love has been with you, because for the first time in your life, you see it. And what do you see? You see how unworthy you are, evidenced by how you've treated him the whole way, and that the whole way he has pursued you, he's loved you, and the only thing that comes out of your mouth is, Lord God of my father Abraham, you made a promise, you made a covenant that you would bring salvation. I'm not worthy of anything that you've done. None of it. And yet you've continually shown it. That's what I've known. That's what I've experienced. That's what I've received. And you see, when there's a realization of that, do you know what he's doing? He's calling you out by name. We haven't heard from the Lord in this whole mess, but you do in this chapter for the first time in a long time. Verse 3. As the conflict reached its height, God speaks. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. Bondage is over. I'm shattering it, Jacob. It's time to go. It's time to go. The time of your exodus has come. Return. I am with you. It's the same words at Bethel. I will be with you wherever you go. What's amazing here is that the call comes in the height of the turmoil and the height of the conflict, in the height of the bondage. God breaks it. And so then in verses 17 and 18, Jacob arises and sets his sons and wives on camels and drove away all his livestock and all his property that he had gained, the livestock and possession that he had acquired in Paddan Aram, to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. He packs up and he leaves. What an exodus. All the flocks, all the children of Israel. But Rachel tucks away the household idols. Have you put all this together yet? Do you see what this is? Jacob came to Pharaoh and said, let me go. That's the old translation. We should retain it. Let me go. And the bondage increases. In the midst of it, Jacob keeps getting blessed by God. He keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. God told us this would happen. He told Abraham when he made the covenant of grace, "Know certainly your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years, and the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions." Well, you got that whole story playing out here in the life of Jacob. Israel should have looked at this and known what God would do. Do you know, the entire Old Testament, this is the heart of the story. This is the heart of your Bible right here. Old Testament telling us this story over and over and over and over. That's why I picked the Psalm. Why is it telling us this story? Why did the Psalm sing about this story? Well, God is now publishing this story in the life of Jacob. Here he is in bondage to a cruel man. He's a slave who won't release him. Israel would go down to Egypt and would be oppressed. And a new Pharaoh would rise over them who didn't know Joseph. And he would inflict on them hard bondage. "Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with burdens. And it kept increasing and increasing. And yet what happened? Exodus 1 the whole time. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. God was with them. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. Moses comes before Pharaoh. "Thus says the Lord." This is the Lord's statement. "Let my people go." Jacob comes to Laban. "Let me go." God says, "Go. It's over. The time of your exodus has come." He is fascinating because in verse 21, he arises and he goes and he comes to where? The river. And in the next week, you're going to see as he's crossing the river, guess who comes in hot pursuit after him? Laban. That's Pharaoh. This is not just nice stories, are they, boys and girls? The Exodus story is not just a story for Israel. Whatever the Exodus story meant for Israel, God's telling you it meant for Jacob. And if you want to press that, whatever the Exodus story meant for Jacob, it meant for Abraham, because Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans to a land that God would show him. And you see, in closing today, I want to summarize this so you get it. We've been studying a man who's been running all of his life, who is at enmity with God and his neighbor, whose choices in life were reckless, destructive, and he lands up in a land of a cruel master who holds him in bondage, who uses him, who ultimately would want to destroy him. Well, that's your story. From the beginning, you ran from this God. And out of the Garden of Eden, you went. And you were held by the prince of the power of the air who holds you in hard bondage. Satan. He works in the sons of disobedience. But at some point, God dropped a ladder and he sent his son to you. This God who is rich in mercy said, "I'm going to be with you wherever you go. I'm not letting you go all alone." And at some point, he brought you out. He freed you from the tyranny of what? What did we say in the Heidelberg? He freed you from the tyranny of the devil. And he forgave your sins. And all of a sudden the light went on. You were born again, right? You had life given to you. And you realized for the first time, "I'm not worthy of any of this." A great conviction came over you. And he never left. That's what you realize. He always protected. He always loved. And the light went on. And the story of Jacob and Laban, Israel and Pharaoh, is the central story of the Bible. It's the story of Christ, the cross, and freeing you. You see, he shattered the devil's dominion. He crushed him. That devil's going into the Red Sea, lake of fire. And he brought you out. At some point that call came, come out, come to me, come. With me there's freedom. With me there's joy. With me I give you blessing. With me there's life. And you know you've come out when you, like Jacob, realize what you deserve and what you received instead. Well, once you come out, we'll look at next week, the rest of your life will be a fight against the idols of your past because you still cling. Israel will hold up one on the mountain. God's committed to take it down in your life. I close and ask then, have you returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls? Maybe that call is really personal for you today because you just show no life. You'll gladly watch television tonight while God's people meet. And it won't bother you. Come out. You've spent enough of your own lifetime doing the will of the who? Gentiles. I've been with you, says the Lord. Come out. Be separate. And I'll be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we bow the head and ask for forgiveness, saying with Jacob that we're not worthy of the least of the mercies you've shown, but you've loved us. You've been with us. And how you protect and love your elect. And today that has gotten a hold of me as a pastor. I pray that it's gotten hold of everyone here, that you have saved a people to yourself and been strong in their lives when we have been weak. All glory is to you. Thank you for being so relentless. Thank you for grace that amazes us. Thank you for persevering love. Thank you for bringing us home. Now, O Lord, keep us from idols. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praising our God for being a God who responds to our conflict, answers our cry, and puts in our hearts a desire to go home. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, in closing our time together today, I'm reminded of other resource materials we have available at our website that would complement what we've heard today. agradio.org is a great place to go if you would like to know more about us and take advantage of other resource materials we have there. And if you have a question that you would like to address Pastor Chris with, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a thought or two, a question, please, by all means, send it off to us. Now, you can either email that to us through our website, agradio.org, or better yet, voice it through your voice memo app. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then send that to questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you prefer to follow. One final note as we close out our program today, we are listener-supported, which means friends of the ministry come alongside and partner with us financially and prayerfully, ensuring that this program continues right here on this radio station. You see, we look to friends like you to help ensure that this broadcast continues to spread the gospel of grace wherever we're at. If you would like to be a part of that, a small gift, large gift, one time or an ongoing monthly gift, we'd love to hear from you. agradio.org, you can give securely online, 888-504-8805, or write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Well, tomorrow on Abounding Grace, Pastor Chris Gordon continues our journey through Genesis. We'll be in chapter 31, looking at verses 22 through 55, Jacob's exodus. In the midst of all of this, he's released and set free to go home. But along the way, idols still cling. And we'll discuss the significance of that again tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Thank you for joining us. Until tomorrow, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.